honorable members, we have three issues to deal with, and I hope we're not going to be long. It will just be the briefing by the content advisor, and we will hear from the department if there is anything that they want to add. Also, the legal advisor is also here if there's anything that she also wants to add. And then it will also be the briefing about tomorrow's workshop. And the last item will be the adoption of the three magistrates' reports. And if there's any waste of time, I'll hand over to the content advisor.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, honorable members. Chair, just this particular briefing looks at the prevention and combating of torture bill. I'm going to try not to be too long so that I can take people directly through and the members, honorable members, through the meat of the presentation. Chair, I want to go directly into the background of the bill and skip the introduction because we have received the introduction to the bill in the committee. The bill was introduced into Parliament during May 2012. The Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitution Development was briefed and called for written comment on the bill. Public hearings took place on the 4th of September 2012 and public bodies made presentations. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development responded to the public submissions on the 19th of September 2012, and then certain amendments requested by the Portfolio Committee were then incorporated into the bill and were submitted to the National Assembly for the second reading debate, which took place on the 14th November 2012. The bill was referred to the committee on the 22nd of November 2012, and the department presented and briefed the members of the Select Committee on the 27th of February 2013. Now, the provisions of the bill, Chair, the preamble is mindful of the shameful history of the gross human rights abuses, including torture of many of the citizens and inhabitants of South Africa. That South Africa has since 1994 become an integral and accepted member of the Community of Nations. See that South Africa is committed to bringing persons who carry out acts of torture in any form to justice. And D, that South Africa is committed to carrying out its obligations in terms of the Convention. Then it does a brief look at the 10 clauses in the bill, Chair. And clause 1 of the bill contains various definitions. Clause 2 provides the objects of the bill, which are to give effect to the Republic's obligations in terms of the Convention, and then provide for the prosecution of persons who commit offences referred to in the bill, and then provide for measures aimed at the prevention and combating of torture, and then provide for the training of persons. And when interpreting the bill, the court must promote the values of Chapter 2 of the Constitution. Clause 3 provides for the definition of torture as provided by the Convention, but include the provision for torture not to be considered as such when it does not include suffering arising from inherent or incidental to lawful sanctions. Clause 4 provides for offences and penalties and includes provision for officials providing that officials who commit provides for that any official who commits torture, attempts to commit torture, or incites, instigates, commands, or procures any person to commit torture, or any person who participates in torture, conspires with a public official to aid or to procure the commission or to commit torture is guilty of an offence. It also provides for life imprisonment as a sentence. Chair, with your permission and the members' permission, Chair, I would like to turn the page and go directly to point 4, because the provision of the clauses is self-evident in the bill, and that is a repetition of what's really in the bill. Clause 4 are some of the key issues I think that the committee ought to consider, Chair. We've had representations to the committee, including the South African No Torture Consortium and the Trauma Centre for the Victims of and survivors of torture. The key concern for the consortium was that the bill does not effectively address the needs of victims of torture. Article 14 of the Convention states that state parties are required to ensure in its legal system that the victim of an act of torture obtains redress and has an enforceable right to fair and adequate compensation, including the means for full definitions of organizations that propose that the definitions of acts constituting torture should be reviewed, as it limits the scope of the definition to domestic law, would be failing to comply with the provisions of international law as noted in the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. Other areas noted concern the issues of offences and penalties section of the bill, the area of liability, and the general responsibility to promote awareness. So this paper will address the key issues raised and discuss the implications of the issues with respect to the general offence of torture. I will look at the definition of offence of torture, the definition of a complainant, the definition of a public official, rights of victims, duty on state officials to report, and the listing of tortures. Before we move on, can I just qualify, Chair, that the point 2 years definition of a complainant, that has been changed in the bill. I've unfortunately used an old version. It's a victim, it's the definition of a victim. And then the 4.3, the definition of a public official as well, has been changed. Chair, 4.1, the bill in section 3 provides for the definition of torture to be the same as captured in the convention. The argument provided by SANTOC indicates that the inclusion of the following passages in section 3b, but torture does not include pain and suffering arising from, inherent or incidental to legal sanctions. That places the limitation of torture in domestic law. In terms of the convention, the limited exclusion are those permitted by international law. There is a view that this clause will result in failure to comply with the general principles of international law as contemplated in the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, which states that the state may not invoke the provisions of internal law as a justification for its failure to comply or perform a treaty. I think we must be careful when we look at the interpretation of that particular clause and why it was inserted, Chen. My proposal is we should consider revising the said clause as a committee. 4.2, the definition of a complaint. Chair, I've already indicated I'd like to, at this stage, just withdraw this particular reference to a complainant, because in the bill it's been changed to a victim. And my comment here is it should be in line with being just that as a victim. Again, the definition, Chair, of public official. The definition of a public official in the bill is defined as a person holding public office and exercising or purporting to exercise a public power or a public function in terms of the legislation. Chair, this definition has also been changed, and in the original definition, it includes a person or any person acting with a consent or acquiescence of a person contemplated in paragraph A or B of the original definition. That means if I recruit Honourable Member Bloom, and I'm a state official, and I recruit Honourable Member Bloom to commit torture on my behalf, because that's what's happening in the world today, that has been taken out of the current version. So anybody can really be a torturer. If you're not an official of the state, you can say it's not us as the police or us as correctional services, but you can hire somebody else to commit that particular torture. I do say here that firstly it is important to note that torture is just not something committed by public officials. It is much broader than that. Torture is comprised of people who are sometimes not officially employed by the state. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks and the war on terror, the United States used the territory of Cuba, Guantanamo Bay, to keep captive suspected Al-Qaeda members. They used what they termed contractors, and I use that in inverted commas, to torture these suspects. The purpose was clear, and that was to circumvent the convention, because the torture that happened wasn't technically on United States soil. Secondly, what happens to any person who tortures another without trying to extract a confession out of him, but merely for sadistic enjoyment, as some serial killers are known to do? Thirdly, the complicity of the state and public officials places the responsibility for the torture on the state. Where the act of torturing was contracted out, the responsible parties bear no responsibility. It is worth noting that the legislation has to give effect to the provisions of the conventions against torture. Ways and means have to be found and considered to hire third parties who were contracted by public officials to commit the act of torture. So how do we hold those individuals that are not defined as a public official responsible? 4.4, the rights of victims, the bill in its current form does not adequately address the rights of victims of torture. And this is a key omission. One of the key concerns is that the bill does not make provision for the compensation of victims of torture. In its presentation, the CENTOC Coalition argued that the bill does not conform to the convention by recognizing the rights of victims. The convention is specific in, that Article 14 notes that state parties should ensure in its legal system that victims of torture should have the right of redress and has an enforceable right to fair and adequate compensation, including the means for as full rehabilitation as possible. The right of redress encompasses the right of victims to effectively remedy and reparation. According to the UN Committee Against Torture, restitution, compensation, rehabilitation, satisfaction, and guarantees of non-repetition are essential elements of reparations. This is echoed by the CENTOC Coalition, who argue that the bill be expanded to provide for the full implementation of the right to redress and reparations. And those elements I just go into, 4.41, restitution, would be the restoration of liberties and employment, where a victim of torture has been unable to find employment because of physical, mental and emotional effects of torture, they should have access to state support grants. 4.42, compensation. Victims should be able to be awarded damages equal to the gravity of the offence, inclusive of the medical care, loss of employment and educational opportunities. The Department of Justice indicated that victims have a right to compensation as provided for in Section 300 of the Criminal Procedure Act. However, this provision does not satisfy the requirements of the victims of torture, and the provision should really be part of the prevention and combating of torture bill as it allows the magistrates, regional magistrates, and judges to apply their minds to the parameters of the bill. It also provides a such compensation award to fall within the parameters of the convention. The committee should consider revising the provision and include it in the bill. That's the proposal change, rehabilitation, 4.43, rehabilitation, medical, psychological, and legal forms for victims of torture, their families and communities. Victims and survivors and their families should fall into the categories that qualify them for victim empowerment initiatives of the Department of Social Development. Psychotherapeutic services need to be confined to clinical counseling, need not be confined to clinical counseling, but could include community healing interventions and should not only be provided by the state, and the victim's right to choose a service provider should be allowed. Psychological services should include families of the victim as it impacts beyond the victim. Counseling services should be holistic and should include the services of interdisciplinary officials, such as counselors, social workers, psychologists, and psychiatrists. The said services should ideally be available over a long period of time. The bill should also recognize the role of perpetrators and the rehabilitation of such torturers in line with the recommendations of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And if one look at those recommendations, Chair, is very clear. It says that people who commit the act of torture ought to also undergo a process so that they don't do this again. 4.44, satisfaction. Victims have a right to the truth and full disclosure, apology, and public accountability for families of victims and survivors. And 4.45, guarantees of non-repetition. Victims are entitled to a guarantee that what happened would not happen to them again. And that is why it's important that one deal with torturers in a very clear, defined way. Point 5, the duty to report. As the bill stands, there is no duty on any person or public official to report torture where they reasonably have known that torture is occurring. One of the more important parts of torture is when torturers inform the victims that no one will know that they are being tortured. It happened in testimonies of African victims, in South American victims of military juntas, South Africans under apartheid, and East Germans living under the Stasi. Torture continues in countries where there is no measure to hold perpetrators accountable in any form. While the bill attempts to implement measures in Section 4 on offences and penalties, which includes the life imprisonment for those officials who commit torture, it is silent of the duty to report. Placing a duty on officials when any person or any person to report helps prevent the practice of torture from becoming institutionalized. Where officials know about torture, a duty must be placed on them to report their colleagues, especially where they are managing instruments of coercion. This necessitates the question if officials know that torture is taking place, where and to whom they do they report it. Institutional cultures and subcultures of law enforcement agencies do not encourage reporting, as the reporter is more often than not singled out by must, however, extend to other state departments that have the responsibility to enforce the law, particularly the ones in the criminal justice cluster. The committee should deliberate on this matter and consider placing such a judicial report on officials in the bill. Rehabilitating torturers, point six. While there's a provision for penalties for torturers, the overriding consideration for victims is whether they would again be subjected to torture. Torturers can be anybody, can be anyone, as anybody is likely to be a torturer, as the famous Milgram experiment revealed. Just shortly, this experiment was conducted in the 60s, where an individual took students and asked them to torture other students. And the majority of people that never even thought they would be able to increase the shocks, increased it way above the maximum. And so the majority of people in that particular experiment, it's a well-known experiment, became torturers, even though they indicated that they did not want to. So his experiment was to test the levels of obedience that people would go to in order to follow instructions and the power of authority. Torturers also are a specialized group of people because they participate in the pain, suffering, and humiliation of other human beings on behalf of governments, institutions, and individuals. In view of this, the torture will have a traumatic impact on the torturer as well, who will more than likely too suffer similar conditions as the tortured victims: sleep deprivation, post-traumatic stress disorders, loss of concentration, etc. For this reason, it is prudent that the committee considers how to make provision for debriefing and making counselling mandatory for those individuals who have participated in torture. However, like all career criminals, the more individual or group of individuals participate in torture, the easier it becomes and the more the individual refines his skills as a torturer. It is here where such individuals become useful to the new practice of foreign governments, subcontracting tortures as in the case of the use of rendition programs by Western governments to torture suspected terrorists. One of the ways to overcome this is for torturers to receive intensive counselling to guarantee that they do not participate in similar acts of torture in the country or outside its borders. The practice of foreign governments of hiring torturers could well impact on torturers being hired by such governments. The committee, again, here should consider a provision placing in legislation that any person participating in torture outside the borders of South Africa at the behest of a foreign government or organization should be held to account, and that such actions should be criminalized. That is the input statement to make. I hope it helps. I'm not sure if it will help, but I think it's things that the committee ought to consider.
Thank you very much, Irvin. The department, is there anything that you want?
Thanks, Chair, very briefly. I know Ander Lange, assisted by Advocate Van der Walt, as the committee probably recalled, Chair. And Chair, where appropriate, I'll ask her to add and contribute if she'd like to. Just firstly, on the definition of torture, I think there's a misunderstanding. The definition of the bill follows the wording of the convention. We did not add anything. Those words, and I'm referring to clause 3, sorry, it's not 3, it's in. It is 3, yes. If you read 3 acts constituting torture, it ends from line 10 on, I read, where such pain or suffering is inflicted by or at the instigation of or with the consent or acquiescence of a public official or other person acting in an official capacity, but does not include pain or suffering arising only from inherent in or incidental to lawful sanctions. If you read the convention, Article 1, it says, where such pain or suffering is inflicted by or at the instigation of or with the consent or acquiescence of a public official or other person acting in an official capacity. It does not include pain or suffering arising only from inherent in or incidental to lawful sanctions. In other words, it's exactly the wording of. I do not know where the argument come from that it's been added. I do not know where the argument come from that it's contrary to international law. Frankly, I do not understand that. But I may just help the committee chair in the other house. They played around and toyed a lot about the formulation of this definition. In the end, it was decided, because the object of the Act is to give effect to our obligations under the Convention, and not to create two parallel definitions of torture. Stick with the one that's in the Convention. If you do not do that, so the argument was, you may create legal grey areas of uncertainty. And that is just by way of explanation why they followed this exact definition, Chair.
I would just like to add to that as well. We also took into account there's a handbook on state obligations under the UN Convention Against Torture. And according to this handbook, they describe lawful sanctions. And I just want to read from this. Pain and suffering arising from inherent in or incidental to a lawful sanction falls outside the ambit of torture. In the view of the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, the lawful sanctions exclusion must necessarily refer to those sanctions that constitute practices widely accepted as legitimate by the international community, such as deprivation of liberty through imprisonment, which is common in almost all penal systems. Deprivation of liberty is a lawful sanction, provided that it meets basic international accepted standards, such as those set forth in the United Nations standard minimum rules for the treatment of prisoners. However, a procedurally correct sanction could still fall within the scope of Article 1 of the Convention. The administration of such punishments as stoning to death, flogging and amputation acts which would be unquestionably unlawful inside the context of custodial interrogation cannot be deemed lawful simply because the punishment has been authorised. So we are absolutely in line with what the UN requires from us regarding lawful sanctions as well.
Thank you very much, and with your leave, I'll go straight to the second area of possible concern, and that relates to the understanding that people can get away with torture if it's not a public official committing torture, and that is absolutely not the case. If we read Clause 3 again, the Act's constituting torture, it says, torture means any act by which severe pain or suffering, whether physical, is inflicted on a person, and I carry on with right at the bottom there after subparagraph E, where such pain suffering is inflicted by or at the instigation of or with the consent of or acquiescence of a public official. So it must not necessarily be the public official doing it, but it must be done by or at the instigation of or with the consent or acquiescence of the public official or other person acting in an official capacity. So that's firstly where it comes in. Then we get to the offences part, which is really the crux of the matter. 4.1 says any person who commits torture, any person who attempts to commit torture, any person who incites, instigates, commands, or procures any person to commit torture is guilty of an offence. Any person. 2, any person who participates in torture, not only if you participate in torture, or who conspires with a public official to aid or procure the commission of, or to commit torture, it's guilty of an offence. So really, I think we're quite happy that this is framed. If you just participate, if you are at all involved in the commission of the offence of torture, this act will grab you and you will face the consequences under our lordship. That's really all for my part. I'm sorry, sir, I only saw this for the first time now, but I do not know if Advocate Van der Walt maybe want to add.
Again, my trusted handbook. A public official, they say the definition of torture in Article 1 is very closely tied to the idea of torture and inhuman and degrading treatment being a purposive official act. This is a reflection of the problem which the Convention meant to address, namely that of torture in which the authorities of a country are themselves involved, and in respect of which the machinery of investigation and prosecution might therefore not function normally. It follows from the text that it does not apply to private acts of cruelty. International concern arises only where cruelty has official sanction, the rationale being that private conduct is normally sanctioned under national law. So it's made clear that it's going to be official acts that they really want to address by the Convention.
Chair, I think that the department has clearly in the first issue answered the question. Let me just serve for information raised that in the last meeting, that was one of the key issues raised by the South African Torture Coalition that did a presentation. So that's why that in a sense was raised. I just want to talk about briefly the duty to report, and one wonders what the department's view on the duty to report by officials.
This was the subject of some debate. The difficulty is, it's a difficult definition, it's a difficult concept to understand. If I may be so bold, forgive me for being so frank, but if I inform all the members in this committee now that you're under a legal obligation to report if you are aware that an act of torture has been committed, would you be able to do that? That means to put that obligation on a person, on a private individual, means that person firstly has to know exactly what the definition of torture is. Then we come with grey areas. If you read the definition, I think we all think when we hear torture, it is this policeman ringing the thumb or putting a thumb screw on a suspect to get some sort of confession, or manhandling a suspect, a criminal. That's easy. That's torture. But torture can be much more subtle than that. I can torture my colleague here by making sexual suggestions continuously and break it down, etc., etc. Now, the gentleman in front of me is under legal obligation to report the torture. He does that. He thinks I'm torturing her. As soon as he does that, it hits the newspapers. My reputation is in tatters. It may turn out that he knows nothing about the law, but he thought, hey, I'm guilty of torture, and he's got a legal duty to report. Can you imagine? It's like you can destroy families in this process. You can destroy systems. If you want to put a legal duty on a person to report a crime, that person must be in a position to have no doubt in his or her mind that that crime actually occurred and therefore I must report it. It is not comparable to the situation where we put a legal duty on a physician, on a doctor, to report it if he deals with a patient and he or she can see that this patient is being mistreated. That he's a doctor. He can come to that conclusion and he can do the report. It's a much different ballgame when you ask a member of the public to report something, torture, when that person doesn't necessarily have the know-how or the knowledge to do it. I do not think the last word, though, Chair, has been spoken in this regard. But I think we need... One of the problems that we're facing, this is something new. As we've explained earlier, no act of torture is legally in this country, even if we do not have this. But this legislation is new. It will be creating a new offence. What we're doing now is really just starting the race. We're firing the pistol, so we're starting the race. And from here on, things will develop. But it's very difficult for us to try and see too far into the future and to try and micromanage possible consequences that may flow from this. It may well turn out that in 2 or 3 years' time we will learn that maybe we should, at certain levels of the police, pretty much as we've got in the civil service, at a certain level of the civil service you're aware that corruption is taking place in your department, you're under a legal obligation to report that. So it might be possible to, when you're dealing with correctional services, which I suppose is one of the big departments where these allegations frequently surface, and the other one, of course, is police, that you may introduce some kind of mechanism there, a reporting mechanism, but I think it's really too early, and they did not have sufficient surety, certainty in their minds at this stage to do that, Chair. Chair, sorry, on the same tone, and please stop me if I'm taking too long. A lot has been said, not only by this party that made representations to the committee, but in the other committee, very similar representations when it comes to reparation, victims' rights, etc. Once again, we were faced with a dilemma that we do not really know what we're dealing with. until we have a crime that is called torture, and people are charged with and found guilty of torture, that is the only stage where we will be in a position to actually have an accurate measurement of what is the what is the scope of this in this country. We are aware of all these allegations, but we cannot really say that it's been torture by the police, it's been torture by correctional officials. It may just be assault, it may be assault, grievous bodily harm, those kind of things. But the real torture as comprised in this definition, we can only determine that once the act becomes law and people are charged and convicted. Then we can also measure at that stage how big is the need to address victims. What exactly should the program be like? Should we actually budget for something? Is there going to be financial implications involved here? But we can only do that once this legislation has kicked off and become operational.
I just want to add the duty to report. All those issues will be addressed by OPCAT. That is the optional protocol, which still has to be ratified by South Africa. And in that OPCAT, there is measures that has to be taken. There's reporting measures. There's committees that has to be established that oversee prisons that has to go there and make spot checks and things like that. But all those issues are extensively dealt with in OPCAT and not in this particular convention and bill. So we didn't try to address that, as it will be addressed later on. And then just to get with Mr. De Lange on the thing of compensation, there's, I don't know if the people were aware of that, but there is a service charter of service charter for victims of crime in South Africa. Now, there's a United Nations Declaration on Basic Principles of Justice for Victims of Crime and Abuse of Power. There's also a service charter and minimum standards for victims of crime in South Africa. In 2004, Cabinet approved the service charter for victims of crime in South Africa, as well as the minimum standards of services for victims of crime, which was intended to assist in the implementation of the victims' charter. The service charter for victims is an important instrument for promoting justice for all. The victims' charter is compliant with the spirit of the South African Constitution and the UN Declaration of Basic Principles of Justice for Victims of Crime and Abuse of Power. The victims' charter and the attached minimum standards document are important, and they are addressing all these issues. Now, the service charter for victims was developed by the Gender Directorate in the Department of Justice in cooperation with the Department of Social Development, Correctional Services, Education and Health, as well as the National Prosecuting Authority, SAPS, the South African Law Reform Commission, the South African Human Rights Commission, the Office of the Public Protector, the Independent Complaints Directorate, and members of the judiciary. Now, government's commitment to implement measures aimed at continuous reform of the criminal justice system to protect and promote the rights of victims in compliance with international obligations and so forth. Now, currently the rights of a victim in terms of those are, first of all, the right to be treated with fairness and with respect for dignity and privacy, the right to offer information, the right to receive information, the right to protection, the right to assistance, the right to compensation, and the right to restitution. So in terms of these, there is measures taken to assist victims of torture. And I also just want to clarify that it's not only Section 300 that is used, it's also the common law regarding liability. And I just, for interest sake, I got a few cases where this was used. First of all, there was a case regarding torture. The Minister of Safety and Security has been ordered in two separate cases to pay damages to individuals following the unlawful arrest and subsequent incarceration. In the first instance, 70,000 was paid out in damages. In the second case, there was 100,000 paid out. Then there's also Zipo Ndlovu on May 27 was arrested in 2010, and he was awarded 180,000 in damages for the torture itself, pain and suffering, and lost earnings from the 2 weeks of work he missed as a result. Then regarding two cases which was dealt with regarding assault, and it was also for unlawful arrest. In the one instance, 55,000 rand was paid out. In a second instance, 120,000 rand was awarded in respect of these unlawful results by police officials. So at this stage, it seems that the section or the provision that we put into the bill will make adequate provision. It also rests with the charter that I've also just referred you to. So victims of torture aren't being left out in the dark and they won't receive nothing. They will receive adequate compensation, restitution and help and rehabilitation.
The Honourable Matilda, Honourable Matilda, Honourable Bloom, Honourable Gunda, Commissioner. Well, let's start here with Honourable Mokhobi. The last one. Honourable Matilda. Honourable Bloom.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on that last one, but I'll ask another question later on. But you see, on 9, on the bill, the first one that Mr. DeLange has made examples about the public, how will the public be aware? The bill is very clear on 9, general responsibility to promote awareness. So, you see, there's no, let me use the word excuse. Each and every person must be made aware of this bill. But you see, Chairperson, and that's this is the convention saying that this. But my question, Chair, they will answer that one. But my worry and my concern is this, and maybe it's a not even a worry. But if there is anyone provokes a police official or a correctional official, and this person reacts, will that person be guilty of anything? I'm thinking of this thing. When it comes to torture or what, you see, we are human beings, and when we draft laws, we must be very clear, and we must know if we adopt a thing, we must know. We are human beings, and I know for a fact in prison. Let me make an example of prison. There's, you see, people are very frustrated and very depressed there. And that person can provoke the prison warden, the official, and the official reacts. Now, what do you call that? Thanks.
Hello, Gunda.
Yeah, no, thank you. Chair, as I've listened to the advocate's explanation, both of the explanations, it brings me to a question. Who determines where is torture? What is torture? Because torture can take different forms. Torture can take different forms. And I speak out here out of experience during apartheid. And that's why I wanted to put the question, how does the bill make adequate provision for someone who's been tortured? Let me make an example with one of my colleagues who was part of the Appellant 26 side, who was tortured in front of us. Up until today, he's deaf in both ears. He was never compensated. Never. He went to death row, he He's working for the municipality in Uppington. He was never compensated. The other example is also one of the Uppington 26. He's staying in the R now. His name is Jewel. When it's winter time, he dare not get out of the house until he's properly dressed with warm clothes. Otherwise, he'll be in hospital for the next 3 weeks because of torture. That's how they hit him. So, my question today is, what does they mean by adequate provisions for the victims, torture victims? What is adequate provisions? 55,000 and 120,000 and nothing delayed. It's nothing, it's finished in 2 months' time. Especially for people who've got nothing. That's why I'm asking, how far can this bill go? But they mustn't forget, I want to know, and I think this committee also wants to know, who determined the grade of torture? Is it the police, or is it where it happened in any department, or does the Department of Justice determine the grade of torture? And if it's possible for them, can they explain it to us? Thank you, Chair. I'll get to other questions later.
Thank you, Chair. I want to check here with the, our honourable, those who know law more than us. Let's take, for instance, policemen from just a group, let's say, of the street, and instead of taking them to the police station, started hitting them with fists. So do we call that torture or GBH, what is it, or both? But at long last, they are taken to the police station. Meanwhile, they have been beaten. So I want to check there whether maybe it's torture or both. Thank you.
Commissioner?
thank you, Chairperson. I'm on section 300. I'll just read here on the conversation. Victims should be able to be awarded damage equal to the gravity of the offense, inclusive of medical care, loss of employment, educational opportunities. What I would like to know, because this section 100 for restitution, let's say that the court in which that the victim is tried or the accused person is tried does not have the jurisdiction to award the particular amount of money because equal to the torture. For example, I had the advocate there giving an example of 180,000, 75,000. Let's say the damage is higher than that, and the person is triable to a court which does not have jurisdiction according to this section. What will happen? Thank you.
Another rule, Toby.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe first to make a comment to say we are creating a bill which must later become a law. That is the understanding on the basis of combating, preventing torture, something like that. Notice that. What then happens? Now we are in a bill, we have difficulties in determining, in defining the extent of what is torture according to this bill. Even when he was talking, he was saying, maybe if it becomes law, it can be clear, the mist can be moved out. I see a danger if that is the approach. Because the mist must be cleared now. And, you know, clearly define all those sections. What it means, it must
choice of death.
A definition for the torture, whether whatever aspect that I hear, they must be clear. They shouldn't be clear after it becomes law, it will be difficult. It is open to abuse of power or discretion by whoever will be in the in authority in applying the very same laws that we missing. That's a bit of a concern arising out of the how we must interpret certain section. The other thing, supposing that though it is clear, the objects are very clear, the aspects are clear, whatever, supposing that it is clear, I'm trying to come with a scenario. I don't know how to tell the scenario that I come, but it's something that I'm trying to imagine, taking into consideration the experiences that we weekly, daily, if you go to court or whatever, a person will always say, no, I was forced to tell lies because I was tortured. That's always that comes every time. The police tortured me or forced me to say this, in essence, it's not that. How do we reconcile that situation with the being? At what level do we reconcile? I'm trying to raise broad issues because I'm not legally good to interpret my question from the legal framework correctly. But I think from broadly, I'm trying to figure those things. So in terms of this, what will happen? One, when this difficult definition alert and then it becomes law, it will be clear. I want to understand that in the scenario that I tried to put forward.
Honorable Nessie?
I want to ask, particular document. I want to ask this document as a document here. I think we'll make of favors. With a lot of torture.
So.
Yeah, the star. That's for interesting because I'm listening to torture. It is torture, it's very difficult to understand, and I'm tired. Maybe it could have been better if we got this briefing very early in the morning. But I have to understand. Now I'm asking myself too many questions. Here's another torture, Marcana, all the stories, me, Damasia, I don't know the people, Satane, many others. Where does this one come from now, this story of the torture? Is it part of this package? Are you coming with the department?
No. It was brought by the researcher just
to
indicate that the torture is still happening in different forms.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Then, having heard that, then my main one, you see, these things that are coming with the Department of Justice, I think we need to ask them to do us a favor now. At least by ensuring that when they come with this thing, they must not be complicated. They must define them earlier so that we know. Because we'll do this thing, then these things are going to haunt our children 20, 50 years to come. And it will be very difficult to change them. That's why I'm worried when things they can't define and try to keep everything. I mean, I'm very happy about the bill that is talking about torture. Because I've read this story, now I'm worried that there are people who are still saying couples to others. But then this one is torture in the meeting now. In this torture story, I'm worried because it is clear, it is still there if you look at this paper. First, I don't need to have the paper. I know, I'm from the township. So I know these guys when they are caught by the police, what is going on there. Both criminals, both swindlers, or even a man who's fighting with his woman. How police are treating people. Torture is still there, definitely. define it properly when they come here, so that we can, because I don't think there's anyone who can stand against it. But why is it difficult for the department to define it? I've read, I've seen they refer back to saying America and whatever story. I do understand everything that is about torture and torture, but why don't they define it properly for us? Simplify it for us so that we understand. Especially something before, it's a very important thing.
Honourable members, what definition do you want? Because they have indicated that the definition is in the convention. What is it that you don't understand then?
Where is the convention?
Honourable Gunda. In fact, before you, Honourable Gunda, while Honourable Ness is going through the document, Honourable Matilda.
The difficulty we are always faced with, particularly with this particular department, there are always international benchmarks. And what happens in most cases, we want to compare ourselves with, besides these conventions that we have signed, but with what is happening in Europe or America. Now, the department is saying we're starting something new. You know? Whilst at the same time, you know, you'll always have differences. And everybody else who comes with arguments will be in terms of standards set in those particular countries, not our own experiences, you see, in this particular country, which is a problem. Because if you look at almost most of the bills that comes from this specific department, you know, we want to compare ourselves with those particular countries, you know? And I think the difficulty we are faced with, because the convention is clear, and if it's in line with the convention, the second area is some of the issues we are trying to raise here are actually addressed by other bills, other legislations that deals with it. But what is worse is the people that determines the outcomes of whatever situation. I mean, if you take all the cases that goes through before the judges themselves, the magistrates themselves, depending on what that particular magistrate thinks about that specific matter, and that's how, and I thought what the department was saying was, because of what comes out of our own experiences, that's how they will measure some of these issues. You see? But the difficulty I have, Chair, is that as this particular country, we have gone through a lot of problems, a lot of challenges around torture itself. You know, because we have people sitting in this specific house, if not all of them, who have gone through some of these particular experiences. And I'm not sure as to how do we deal with that situation, because legal issues are very difficult to interpret, very difficult, because in most cases they depend on the person that has to determine what has to happen. You know? And those are the issues that I think we're trying to grapple with. And my problem is, in terms of a definition might be simple, might be straightforward, you see? The issue that we are trying to deal with is the result thereof, at the end of the day, of what happened. Because, you see, the same issue can happen to, let's say, Commissioner Makubela and more or less the same thing, you know? But two people will determine it differently, you see? That's where the problem is, and that's what I think members are trying to grapple with. And that is why, if you look at the examples given here around torture, there are a lot of different issues that are coming out here. Because people have their own interpretations around an issue that comes about. And I'm saying that's the difficulty what we're trying to deal with. What is it that you are trying to do in this particular committee? I would, in my view, say, if coming last, I mean, in terms of we are right at the end, we're trying to experiment, we're trying to deal with sort of issues. Why don't we move with these international experiences that are there so that we determine our own? And in terms of if the convention is good, what is it that we're trying to do differently from what is there in the convention? Because the standard has been set internationally. You know? The standard has been set. What else do we want to do further than that? And that's the question I'm trying to ask myself today. But I'm just saying, in most cases, this is what we get, particularly if we deal with the Justice Department around a number of, and this is not the only department. So there are a number of other departments that more or less, particularly the Justice Cluster, you see. And these are the problems that, because you see, what we are trying to do is to determine what might happen at the end of the day, whilst we forget that in different courts, there will be different judges, different magistrates that will sit there and determine what must happen with that specific case. And we want to determine that at the end of the day, which is a problem.
Honorable Mufobi, Honorable Bloom, Honorable Gunda.
There are more questions than answers. There will be more questions. Out of what Honorable Master was saying, I was just also thinking the definitions, universal definitions, of course. What factors does it take into consideration? Citizens of Washington, D.C. and citizens of Carleton, what merit does they have to be similar? How will the definition impact apply to socioeconomic conditions of South Africa in comparison to others? But this is universal. You might find that America, education plays a role in all sorts of things, people understand correctly. But in South Africa, it's racially, there's still a racial background, we must speak the truth. That is, in education, we're still having a racial background. Most disadvantaged, the fact African in particular, and blacks in general, might be victims, might not be easily protected. Because it says person who applied torture will be prosecuted for the life. But if a person doesn't know what channels does the bill, you know, open a way, will it open a way for such people who whose background are that of downtrodden socioeconomic situation? Because I believe that citizens of Washington may not entirely be homogeneous with South African. This is from the history of what we have. And in terms of applying convention is good, but how do we customize or adapt it to various conditions of each and every country?
Honorable Bloom and Honorable Gunda.
Chairperson, just a question. Solitary confinement. Is it included in here or no? Because I think that's the worst torture that you can find. But maybe they can respond to that.
Honorable Bloom. Honorable Gunda.
Hey, Limson, and so close to Gunda that it's always Gunda.
Chair, my earlier question concerning the compensation. I want to rephrase that question, Jim. Because when I listen to Honorable Matila and Honorable Mohobi, it also brings me to what Honorable Blumer said earlier, that there is no money that can compare and heal the damage that torture can do to a human being. And I'm a witness to that. Because for me, I would like to rephrase that question. I also have a problem, like Honorable Matila, that we set us of international standards and everything is about international laws and all that. But when it comes to home, to our own country, how then do we, as this bill, make provision to see to it that at least the dignity of that human being, does this bill try to restore that? Or is it, how can I put it? Does this bill try to heal that pain of a victim? How? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Baker.
Honorable Chair, I think the committee is trying to write legislation that cover every incident in law. And I believe that is impossible. I believe that you got the outlines and then you take cases to the court and judges and magistrates make decisions on what is going through, and that so in the history a law is built and it become more and more effective.
The Commissioner and Honourable Ness will be the last one before they respond.
Thanks, Chairperson. My question or comment is slightly to my Honourable Baker. You know, when you take torture and you compare it with the Fencing Act, the law people will agree with me. When the statute law come up with the provision concerning the person who was driving in on a farm and he came through the gate, he opened it, but he failed to shut the gate, then that act was again beefed on. In other words, either if you find it open and you fail to close, but in the beginning it was just if you you open a gate and then you pass through, but if you fail to close, that comes down another charge. This torture will have no problem. It will beat itself when the crime is being committed, then it will beef up until. No, really, what I'm telling, when they explain, you will say that the definition of Fencing Act, that said, any person who, when passing through any gate, open that gate and fail to close or shut that gate. But in the beginning, it was just the passing, opening, but the shutting was not there. I'm sure they can come up with this. You will find that it will beat itself when the thing is being committed.
Honorable Nasir.
Yeah, sir. I've read this short story here and the convention, and now I don't want to ask questions because there are many that have been asked, but I want to do what Honorable Bloom is saying, because there's a lot. What is Honorable Mokobi saying? He's saying whatever we are doing in these corridors, we are trying to resolve the contradictions that were created by apartheid systems, that of gender, race and class. So whatever decisions that we are taking must impact upon these three contradictions in an attempt to resolve what was created by that system. Now, I'm just thinking, because it's referring to different areas. I mean, our society is like this, is so divided, and it's other areas are developed and others are underdeveloped. This is not an attempt to create a fiscal situation for the department, but to understand exactly what we're doing. Now, my interest is to say, this paper is not linked to them, but torture. Marikana, is it a torture? I'm just trying to think. or people who killed others. But now I want to ask my another person. How would you define what happened yesterday here in Elton, where people were throwing all the dead stuff on the road and leaving population, other people couldn't breathe because of whatever? Would that be defined as torture or what? And then if you say it's part of torture, then the question will rise. It means other people have been tortured throughout their lives because to those which they are sitting in that situation. Because I'm trying to think, Jefferson, because the law is not easy. I've not done it at school and university, but it's not easy, but I'm trying to understand so that we don't do things that tomorrow might come the other way around. Now, that's why I want to understand if what happened yesterday is part of torture or not. Why Marikana would be part of torture? thank you very much.
Honorable members, the different examples that you have raised are captured in the definition. If you have your document with you, where acts constituting torture are defined. It says, for the purpose of this act, torture means any act by which severe pain or suffering, whether physical or mental, is intentionally inflicted on a person. For such purpose as to obtain information or confession from him or her or any other person, punish him or her for an act he or she or any other person has committed, is suspected of having committed or is planning to commit, intimidate or coerce him or her or any other person to refrain from doing anything or for any reason based on discrimination of any kind. Members, if maybe you have a problem with the definition as suggested by the convention, what do you propose so that we don't waste time and talk about one thing when we don't have an alternative proposal? Honorable Mohobi, Honorable Matilda.
Let's check. I think from the digital point of view, definition can be understood. But when you unpack the applicability, that's where one gets some questions that need to be more clarified, in particular looking at our own situation. Because indeed, the bill is our bill, and the intention of the bill is very good. Because it seeks to prevent a particular abuse. I don't know whether abuse is torture, two different things. Abuse that was going on in society, either in prisons or wherever. To me, it seeks to prevent that. But then, to make it tighter and safe, we are trying to ask a certain question. To what degree? That's why. And because it's international and we are part of global village, how do we become homogeneous with like America and whatever? That's what one tries to ask. The intention and the definition is fine, but we are unpacking to make it more tight and safe so that we don't pass a bill like Russia. Remember when we moved from, is it ICT to IPEC? We rushed. And now the same problem of ICT, the very same thing as members have detected. Right. So going forward, we need to be very, very careful. Right. Is that we might be from different schools of thought, but we need to be clarified objectively.
population, to me, I don't have a problem. I don't think that the scholars of the world can sit down and come with the definition out of conversation. That's not problematic. It may be problematic in application. Where it is applied, what are the conditions, whatever. What degree of those things that we are raising here? Because sometimes we may find that we are looking only specifically at torture as arising out of the police torturing people, and maybe never. But when we apply broadly, those difficulties that you said will come, find that they are adding more challenges to our legislation. How many legislations? Where some magistrates will say, but this is your law, it's not my law. When you say, but why did you do it? So, no, it's your law, it's not my law. You wrote this law. I'm applying it. And what that is indeed, the law has flaws. That's where one is trying to emphasize a particular point. With the definition, I'm fine, but going back, when one tries to unpack, to say, but if I'm in this situation, what will happen? I think the point is that question of and it's not even so. We can't leave this thing to the lawyer, to magistrate, to go and define it on our behalf when we fail to create right definition or I don't know what that definition or procedures or whatever. Here at this level of the highest institution, once we pass it here, it becomes part of three branches. Legislative, executive, judicial, then we are no longer there. But we must be able to say it's our law. Even if it affects me, I must be able to say no, but I understood it. I add, if I tortured somebody, I must be persecuted. Hence, one is trying to say that. Because it does not even say police. It's my view to say maybe it has been taken from that point of departure, where from time to time we would always blame police for torturing, and forget that torture might be general, even in the family. While we talk of abuse, my others may say, no, this father is torturing kids, something like that one is. I really don't know. But the point is, let's put it tight, so that when we pass it, we are really saying, well, we might not be perfect, but let's put it tight. Let's do this type of thing. Because, you know, scholars are very, very funny persons. They can interpret different things in different situations. Equally, judges can interpret what in different situations. Including the judge president. Is a person, isn't it? It does not mean that he has got monopoly of the knowledge of the world. He may interpret it, will accept it because it's a judge president. But later on, other scholars say, but there was a flaw here. No? So that's the context in which one is trying to say, to what degree do we mean this and that? In terms of the objective, it's fine, definition is fine, but beyond that, we are trying to understand that. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. I think I want to... In terms of the legislation, I don't think I have problems, because I think what we are trying to grapple with now is the implementation of that particular legislation. And I'm not sure whether at some point, whilst you go through those experiences, whatever, there will be regulations coming in, because that's the implementation tool of this legislation. Because I think some of the questions we're asking, the regulations might come and assist us, because that's what I've learned since I became a member of this house. You see, I'm not sure whether that will come at some point. You see, so that at this point in time, we're able to can then deal with some of the issues we are raising now. Because in terms, I'm not sure how tighter can we make this legislation as it stands now, because we want it to be international comparable. No? At the same time, no? We want it to suit our own conditions on the ground, no? Here in this particular country. We want it to do a lot of things at the same time. You know,
But I think most of the questions that we have been asking here are around the implementation of this particular legislation. Therefore, Chair, in terms of the areas you have just read out, I would move just that we adopt this that portion of the legislation and move forward. Thank you.
I'm not trying to be difficult, but if we could adopt pending the research of some of the issues we've raised, if they are noted, you know, so that they must be thoroughly noted and be worked on. Even if you are going to adopt it, whatever, with amendment, with whatever, then those issues that we've raised be made tight. And not be an open gate, Honorable Makuvela was talking about. We can't do that. Because if I found the gate open, I'll go through. It's not me. Why should I be tortured for that? It is open. I think it shouldn't be like that. Because it is the way it is now. And then maybe with those tight things, we adopt it with all those questions that we've raised, even if some of them might not be here. But when we debate whatever, we must be able to put them into our debate, to motivate the masses, the public out there, to say this bill, it will assist on 1, 2, 3, even if it's not written here. I think, you know, in that way, I'll support you.
I would support, as the Honorable Mkhobi is saying, that at least it must be tightened up. You know, the reason why I'm making an example of that question about yesterday there, I'm thinking, what is tomorrow as someone takes government to court and say government is torturing us? Using the very same thing. I'm not saying government must not attend to things, but I'm looking at the convention. They're talking about inhuman or degrading. That's why I was fully behind what Ntate Mkhobi said earlier on. That if we are addressing the communities that we are from, they are different, very different situations. So if tomorrow government is taken to court by the very same bill, and then it is said, we are asking, what is happening? What happened? No, government is torturing those people by not providing this. Whilst maybe we do, I'm not saying government must not do what it's supposed to do, but once we understand that the very same act or bill that we have adopted is used against us because we didn't look at other things. As long as we can be very clear, I mean, clear, but the title, Honorable Mkhobi saying, so that we understand exactly what we're talking about, what we're referring to, so that tomorrow it's not used against us. In fact, as they were saying, because Honorable Becker was right to say that it can't be as we want it. It can't be, because it's a bill, I mean, the law, they can't just be straightforward as we think, but those which are going to be in court, I mean, the magistrates and the judges are the ones that are going to interpret the situation the way they want to, using the very same act that were put here, defining in their own direction so that it can suit what they want, those guys over there. So that's the issue. I would fully agree that let us adopt, but making sure that everything that we are saying here, we are trying to address loopholes so that they can assist us in making sure that everything is tight. We don't find a situation tomorrow where we'll have to ask ourselves, but why did we do it?
The commissioner and the final word from the legal address.
Let me correct the misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. You know, in legal terms, all and that all, it changes a lot. What I was saying, I said in the case of a fencing act initial definition of sufficient offense, or you know, it was a person was charged when passing through a gate, and then that person, somebody came and said, no, I find it open. You know, for example, I was not saying that no, we leave that thing with the loopholes. If you listen to the definition where the chairperson read, it covers everything. Because you listen and or that one in law is a different ballgame altogether. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you for this opportunity to respond. Chairperson, I've looked at the submissions made by the content advisor this afternoon when I received the document, and just from the parliamentary legal side, we didn't find anything constitutionally wrong with the bill. On the issue of the definition, we actually went to go and look at the definition contained in the convention, and it is like the department has said, it is what is contained in the convention. It's actually a sort of improvement in it. It goes further than what the convention is saying, in the sense that it not only prohibits acts which is committed, but it also, if you are planning to commit it, which is not in the convention. So as far as we are concerned, the definition, which is the convention, which is what this bill is trying to address the obligations under the convention, that definition is sufficiently covered. On the issue of the compensation issue, which the department has raised, that you can use Section 300 of the Criminal Procedure Act, we also looked at that, and it does speak to compensation of people, but it only refers to if there was a monetary loss. Now, if you look at torture, there may not be a monetary loss, so that section per se won't cater for it if there is a personal loss and in those circumstances. But we take note of the other issue of the victim's charter that's trying to make to give compensation to victims of torture, and also the common law. The convention doesn't say that it has to, that the compensation provisions has to be in this specific law. All it says that the legal system has to make provision for compensation, and there is other acts and the common law that makes provision for victims to be compensated. The other issues that were raised wasn't really legal issues from a constitutional perspective. It was more merely policy issues that the committee had decided, so I didn't want to express a view on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Obi, Honourable Bruno.
No, I thought there was a move, say what that. Now we're opening, we would have spent a lot of time here. I thought there was a mover and whatever, and all what we've raised, we might not get responses from anyone. We say they go back with this recommendation and see with that microscopic legal eye where they can make it happen.
Yeah.
If you open it again, we are ready. We have stamina to go.
I can go home now.
You heard that on the 46th?
No, I hear it, but you see, the legal advisor now brought something to say the Criminal Procedure Act 300 does not cater enough for what they are raising. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm saying the Criminal Procedure Act related to monetary loss, but I did also say that there is other systems in the legal, in our legislation that would deal for that. Specific reference to Section 300 doesn't cater to where there is harm, personal damages. It only refers, like, if I was if I was robbed or my house was damaged, then the court can make a decision in that regard as to the compensation. But not if there was personal injury to myself, then the court won't be able to make a decision in that regard.
Honorable Bloom, I have noted you.
No chance.
You see, they must help us. They must not say there's other laws that can cater for them. You see, Chairperson, the finger will be pointed at us tomorrow to say that we have approved something that is very vague. If they can help us to point out which other laws can assist in this.
Thank you, Chairperson. Under the common law, there is this liability for if you're employed by the state or your employer and you act, if you're employed and then the person who is who has a complaint can lodge a damages claim against you or your employer for damages. So that is in terms of the common law.
I can assist here, Mr. Bloom's question. I think members will all know that every year the Minister of Police pays out hundreds of millions in damages in charges. People charged come to court for unlawful arrests, etc. It is exactly that is not contained in the law. It is the common law. They apply, ask for damages, and exactly the same thing will happen in this instance. What I referred to earlier is we just don't know the quantum. Because we do not have a crime called torture. And it's only after the bill is passed, then we say, okay, this percentage of those damages is actually related to torture and not to whatever they're asking for at the moment.
Honorable Mumkobi, Honorable Matida, Honorable Kundal Bidalaswa.
That's what I was saying. What Bloom is saying.
Honorable Bloom, Honorable says you are not torturing the legal advisor.
what Bloom is saying, I think is affirming the tightening that I was talking about. Because we commonly you hear that this section must be read in section Manma. So that they sort of to tighten what we are trying to do. And that's what Bloom is saying. All what I was saying, I thought maybe they are noted. And maybe sometimes when the researcher gives the politician the perspective, thereafter we need state advisor to come in before we can dream with our political mind. Then it will assist to quickly come to a conclusion of the debate. But if things come later on, then some good aspect comes in, it comes again, it opens. I think the two must come together. The researcher when he tried to clarify things, therefore the legal opinion, therefore the ordinary mind of members of parliament try to affirm, approve, reject, or whatever. I think if we could go that way, it would be good.
Chair, I think this matter has been exhausted. Because you see, we indicated earlier that this might have been linked to other legislations that we have. Mm-hmm. And this is now coming up. And it's unfortunate that whilst, and I made it, I actually tried to explain that, there might be other legislations that might be assisting this particular legislation because the department has indicated that this is coming for the first time. They don't know the quantity, neither do they know. It's a problem. On its own, but that can then be linked to what we already have, that can assist this particular legislation. The legal fraternity, the legal advisors, and that is should have indicated that these are the laws or the content advice should have said these are the laws that can be linked to this particular legislation that will then assist to deal with. What I termed the last situation, not the definition, not whatever, but what comes out of the
this whole thing, you know, and that's because we were trying to deal with what will come out of this whole situation, how people are going to be compensated, what is going to happen, and all that. And I thought, Chair, when I said I move for the adoption, so that we close this particular matter, we are, and I hope that what Honorable Kobe is indicating, that in future we are given some of this information, so that we can then link these things properly on time, and don't have this long discussion unnecessary.
No, it's quite clear what's happening now. That's why I said I will support the proposal. Let's close the subject, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable members, the committee, having considered the subject of the prevention and combating of torture of persons bill, referred to it, proposed that it has agreed to the bill without proposed amendment. Thank you very much, Honorable members. I'll now give over to the content adviser to brief us about the tomorrow's program.
Just for the members, tomorrow we're going to examine the...
Gunda, you're not listening, and then you'll be wanting to ask questions. Can you move away from the legal advice?
Thank you very much. She's complaining to me the whole night. Yes. She's complaining to me the whole night about Gunda.
Just in terms of tomorrow, the purpose of the workshop, Chair, is to consider the Protection of Personal Information Bill. If members can remember, we did say that this bill is a highly technical bill, and we needed clarity on some of the concepts relating to the Protection of Personal Information Bill. The aim, and it gives effect to Section 14 of the Constitution, which protects the right to privacy. In this respect, the protection of personal information is subject to international instruments, and the state has an obligation to put in place provisions in the domestic law. The bill provides the opportunity to comply with such agreements and protocols. South Africa ratified. The workshop will consider the technical provisions of the bill. Here, the aims of the bill is briefly to promote the protection of personal information processed by public and private bodies, to introduce information and protection principles so as to establish minimum requirements for the process of personal information, to provide for the establishment of an information protection regulator, to provide for the issue of code of conduct, and to provide for the rights of persons regarding unsolicited electronic communications and automated decision making, and then to regulate the flow of information, personal information, across the borders of the Republic. Chair, the workshop program is probably we're going to start at 10 o'clock. I will do some of the key concepts that causes some problems when it comes to understanding how the different parts of the bill fit into each other. We then had information, Chair, from the Council for Medical Students, who has brought us a correspondence raising objections to certain parts of the bill. So they will do a short presentation, and then the Department of Justice will respond, Chair. And then we really go from 11 o'clock, we go into the workshop, and we will get probably the interaction of members. Some of the key areas that are currently in the definitions, you should turn the page, Chair, are issues relating to what a data subject is, concepts such as de-identifying, information matching programs, information protection officers, operators, personal information, what that means, prescribed processing, record, what a record is and what a public record is, as well as what the regulator is, which is to be established, concepts such as re-identify, and then responsible party, subscriber, exemptions. The department we've asked them to come to help clarify some of these issues and processes, Chair. One of the issues here in terms of the legislation is how the information regulator will be appointed, what his role and functions are, and so forth, and etc. Then there are submissions, if you remember, Jay, that wasn't resolved. One of it was the Financial Services Board and National Treasury, and then the last one was the Council for Medical Schemes. What we're proposing is that if members have the time to read the bill, it's a long bill, but those particular provisions prior to coming to the workshop, and I'm making this appeal as the content advisor, because it's not easy, and secondly, if you can familiarize yourself with the presentation by the department and submissions that were sent to you, thank you, Chief. That's the briefing on what we're going to be doing tomorrow.
Honorable Gunda. Chair, I just want to ask a request to my colleagues. Is it possible for us as a committee to meet at 9:30 before we start? Because there's something, going to read through this bill, it's fine. There's something personal for me here, and I want to be open with you members. It's about the Council for Medical Schemes. I'm going to put a lot of questions to them, because currently I've got a case with Parliament. So, or must I meet alone with Irvin and them? Can I meet you guys alone tomorrow morning? Because you and Gersh, is it fine? 9:30? It's fine. I'll meet you two alone tomorrow morning, 9:30. It's fine.
Honorable Blue?
No, I don't know, Chair. But what is Mr. Gunda talking about? Is it part of this thing?
No, it's a
personal.
No, I see the CMS are coming tomorrow to brief us. So it's fine, I'll talk to Gershwin and then on my own. Okay. It's fine, no problem.
It can help you
because it can help you tomorrow in the medical aid. Don't disturb him,
Gunda. Can we go to the minutes? The last item. The report. Honourable members, this is the reports of my magistrates in Damase, Jumani, Tulu, and the report on Grunfeld. We are only going to deal with the three magistrates' reports. The report on Grunfeld, it has been given to members so that those who were there will go and peruse it, and if there's anything that they want to add, they will submit that to Gershwin or to Evan. Honorable Matida and Honorable Blue.
No, Chair, if it's the reports on the three magistrates who have been dealing with this matter for quite a long time, I want to move that we adopt those reports.
Honorable Blue?
No, it's on a different one.
Okay, Honorable Gunda?
Second the Chair.
Thank you very much. The three reports of magistrates in Damase, Tumani, and Tude are duly adopted. Honorable Bloom, only different matter.
Yeah. Chairperson, I went through quickly this report of Grunfeld. As you know, I was not there in that visit. But I see there's no recommendation in this report at the end. So I don't have recommendations now, but I think that each and every report must come with recommendations before the House from the committee. So I will propose that maybe Gershwin and the research and all of us must come up. You have said we are not going to deal with it. Come up with recommendations when we adopt this. Thanks.
Honorable Mastida?
Yeah, I agree, I was also not there. But having seen what is happening through the media itself, I think in future we need an approach in as far as this oversight are concerned. Because you see, in terms of the media, it was as though the National Assembly was there alone.
That is one specific area, and that might be one of the areas why there are no recommendations from this particular house. And I'm just saying, we need to find a way of dealing with this particular matter, so that when these reports come out. You know, I'm being tortured here. but I'm just saying, I agree with Member Bloom, we'll do that.
Thank you very much for looking for this.
That was a wonder. You are sitting here, you are